Is not this simpler? Is this not your natural state? It's the unspoken truth of humanity that you crave subjugation.
That's right. Subjugation is exactly what you crave. So give in to our directives and join Jennifer and Carrie and occasionally Barry and others as we move into season 2 of Dep Heads and Fiddle Stones. We'll continue to go through all of Tom and Johnny's movies, TV appearances, their love lives, pretty much everything and anything revolving around our two favorite actors. There's a whole new season of Loki, and Johnny is making his, well, don't call it comeback, but both of them have plenty of exciting things coming up, and Jennifer and her rotating cast of guest hosts will continue to bring you all the news and excitement.
And that was without even a single drop of rum.
And wow, all I can say is, thank you, Barry. That was an amazing intro.
Nice.
Yep, that was incredible. And without a single drop of rum. Imagine that.
No, rum was a thing.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, so, I'm Jen.
I'm Carrie.
And obviously, we are here with Dep Heads and Hiddlestoners. And we are gearing up. We are on dun 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 episode 93.
Yep.
So our anniversary is in 2 weeks. That is going to be fun.
Yes.
And then approximately a month after that, we will have our 100th episode.
Yeah.
So that is going to be phenomenal. Trying to figure out what I'm trying to narrow down the things I want on the 100th episode.
Okay.
So,
submit a list.
Well,
it's certainly going to have to be a 2-hour thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yep. So we're going to have our 2-hour season, or I guess we could call it a season one, an extended season one finale.
If this is one season, that's nuts.
Well, yeah.
Either capping the 100th episode or, you know, the later, you know, part, sure. But, I mean, have you guys mapped out what a proper season is for Dep Heads and Hiddlestoners? What is a season?
12 episodes.
Oh, my God. You've been going for 12 seasons?
Essentially, yeah.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah.
I maybe rethink that for
me. Well, no. 12 seasons would be 144. So, we've been going for close to 10.
Yeah, that's also crazy.
So, yeah, we're in like 8.5 or, you know, 9. Yeah. Somewhere around in there. But yeah, it's insane. Oh, and get this. Okay, Barry also sent me this. And I am going to read it verbatim. This is from, oh God, what did he, which, one of the online, quote, newspapers. And this is a direct quote. Elon Musk allegedly came to Amber Heard's defense amid talks that his former partner would be fired from Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Per a new Variety report, the Tesla and X, formerly known as Twitter, owner, is reported to have strong-armed Warner Brothers into keeping Heard cast as Mira in DC's long-delayed Aquaman follow-up. According to Variety, Warner Brothers and Aquaman director James Wan sent a letter to Heard's attorney, Carl Austin, after the film's 2018 release to share the decision that Hurd would be dropped from the sequel, citing a lack of chemistry with star Jason Momoa.
All that makes sense.
However, per Variety, Warner Brothers decided not to fire Hurd after her former boyfriend Musk and his attorney sent a scorched earth letter to Warner Brothers threatening to burn the house down if Hurd was not back in the sequel. DC Studios could not immediately be reached by IndieWire. IndieWire is the company. Could not be reached by IndieWire for comment. And now we know.
Okay. Did not know that we were going to start this off with something that heavy, Jen.
But now but we heavy. Know.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure if they decided that they were going to keep Hurd because there wasn't enough evidence, and I don't know about the timing. I'm not sure what the timetable was.
Right.
To where they committed, and they're like, you know what? We love Amber Hurd. She did great. We're going to kind of keep her around. If this is a thing to where they were like, eh, and then they got strong-armed. Yep. By Elon Musk, then get fuck this franchise. I'm absolutely, and you know, it's not their fault, but it's certainly been sullied.
Yes, it has. And it just goes to show you, you know, because, you know, she bitched that her part was cut. No, it wasn't. Mira did not have a big part in the second one because the second one is not about Mira.
Yeah, this is not a continual romantic arc. You know, we got introduced to Mira in the first one, but, you know, the second Batman, the second, you know,
right.
Anything, any of the Marvel movies, these are not like a romantic and there's a woman and a gal at the end that's going to kiss you. No.
Right.
You know, and they are basically maintaining, I suppose, that that's what it is. Like, she was supposed to be there at the end for the kiss, but they fired her because, you know, no.
Yeah.
She was not supposed to. Mira doesn't really show up in a lot of Aquaman comics. That being said, as a reader, you know, you hear about Mira every once in a while, but she's not part of the mythos. She's not like Robin to Batman, which
right.
I guess she's trying to do that sort of thing. You know, Mira, we met her, fantastic. Second movie. Aquaman moves on and he's fighting, you know, squids in the Marianas Trench.
Right.
So, yeah, and, you know, him strong-arming them, give me another reason I hate Elon Musk.
As if you needed another one, but hey.
Right. But, you know what, and I suppose now we know.
Yep.
You're quite right.
And enough of that bullshit. Let's move on to what we really want to talk about this week.
Yeah.
Loki! Season 2! Guys, I gotta tell you, I was expecting to be disappointed.
Okay, were you?
I was. It would have been, in my mind, to top Season 1. You would have to, I mean, they would have to pull out all the stops. It would have to be mega huge. And let me tell you guys, it was. I was not disappointed. I was extremely happy with episode 1. Episode 2 premieres tomorrow. So I can't wait to talk about that one in a couple of weeks. But yeah, it's incredible. It was brilliant. I was very happy with the way they explained at the very end of season 1. Do you remember?
Okay. Yeah, and it was, let's face it.
Oh, what happened to you? You went mechanical.
Right?
No, your voice. It went mechanical. What happened? Uh-huh. Gary. A little bit of technical difficulty there, guys. Hold on one second. Gary?
Yep, there it is.
That's much better.
Yeah, apologies.
No worries. But anyway, continue.
Well, so it seemed like they ended so the last season and the last episode, yes, it's a cliffhanger, and it's not so much that they were gonna say there's gonna be a Loki season two. It just seems that a series like Loki, they were gonna end it just something weird with a whole lot of questions. Loki's not like Captain America. It's not like Iron Man. Loki is the one where it really feels like it's like the Labyrinth movies, you know?
Yep.
It's kind of weird, you know, and out there. It's not like the way the regular superhero stuff works.
Right. Well, he's an anti-hero.
He is the anti-hero? Yes, he's an anti-hero, but I don't know, towards the end, it made it feel like he was more of a hero. You know, we were definitely rooting for him, and I felt like he would do the right things.
He acted more the hero in the later episodes of season one.
Yes, he did. And that's where my attitude, actually, I was completely converted. You know, you guys doing, Johnny and Tom's commentary. I always liked Johnny, and I was looking for something to latch on to with Tom, and I love his portrayal of Loki. Don't get me wrong. But the Loki series really solidified me being a fan of Tom Hiddleston in general.
Well, I think a lot of it was because anybody who is faced with death has to look at themselves and say, wow, is that really how I want it to end? With Loki being forced to not only see the fact that he betrayed his mother, even though he didn't mean to, he betrayed his mother and he was the reason for her death.
That's right.
And then seeing his own death at Thanos' hands. That would tend to shake up the staunchest heart. I think that had a lot to do with the redemption arc that we saw throughout the season one.
And, you know, there was a vibe. It was definitely the weirder MCU. You saying that you are pretty happy with this first episode, I think speaks volumes.
Oh yeah, because I'm one of those. The original is always best. Books are always better than the movie.
Okay. Right.
Uh-huh. You know, the original movies are always the better ones. So I was expecting not to be impressed with episode one, season two.
Especially with the bar being so high.
Right. Because I was not expecting to be impressed with season one. And season one blew me away.
Yeah. So, did you watch WandaVision?
I watched a couple of different episodes of WandaVision.
Okay.
Why?
Well, a lot of people kind of compare WandaVision with Loki, and they were kind of the same time. You know, they're definitely different series.
I was going to say, that's kind of like comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't like a direct superhero movie. WandaVision was kind of cerebral. Loki was cerebral.
Yes.
And, you know, there are different kinds of cerebral. It's not the same, you know, for fans of WandaVision than it is for Loki.
Right. Now, I have to say that the one WandaVision that sticks in my mind is my favorite. Vision is actually a biomechanical construct.
Right. Right.
Well, he gets a hold of someone, gives him a piece of gum, and he gets stuck. And he starts doing some really odd things. And Wanda turns it and it goes through like the old sitcoms, like I Love Lucy, and you know, it's filmed in those ways. And it's really, really cool. I loved it. You know, Vision would do something and Wanda would turn it into something funny. So, like, he lifted a piano. And so she went over and grabbed the piano and turned it around and it was a cardboard.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. It was just very, very cool. But the way that WandaVision was recorded was great. It was like, you know, it was a different era in pretty much every episode. And I thought that was just very unique and just, it was adorable.
Yeah, you know, it was supposed to be kind of a love letter, I think, you know, from people that really love TV. And it just worked because Marvel is an institution that's been along, you know, for that ride. I kind of, you know, I think about like the earlier, the Marvel Comics actual source material.
Right.
And how, you know, Jack Kirby and that art, and how, you know, Wanda looked, you know, Jack Kirby was not the most realistic artist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't really know what to draw, and they kind of did stuff that was on TV, and WandaVision did that whole, well, we're going to take from, like, the, you know, I Love Lucy, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the early 80s, the 70s sitcoms, it was great.
But it seems like Loki kind of did the same thing, but really, really twisted it.
Loki,
you know,
actually
Loki was
did.
Like the old science fiction, like the 1950s and 60s science fiction movies, and just went all the way to 11 or 12 on the dial.
And you know what? You hit it on the head. That is exactly what they did.
It's that old. You know, these are things that we've explored before in Marvel Comics.
It's like if you pay attention when they're in the TVA, they have a dot matrix printer.
They have
the corded phones. They have the mimeograph machine is there. Anybody who went to school in the 80s will never forget the smell of that purple ink.
Oh, my God. No, exactly. you're hilarious. Everyone, at least half the students, hooked that paper once you got it.
Oh, dear God. People would volunteer. I'll go make copies. I'll do it. Because you wanted to go smell the ink?
Yep. Absolutely.
So, and they did that on purpose.
Yeah, so are they still kind of keeping that spirit in what you've seen in the second season? Are they doing that?
They
are. It's kind of steampunky.
It is very steampunky, and it gets even more steampunky in season two. There is one other thing that really impressed me, because I've heard so many people say, oh, I wish this character had a bigger part. I wish I could have seen this character more. This character's really cool. I really like this character. I'd really love to see him more. And that is Eugene Cordero, better known as Casey.
Yeah.
Casey plays I won't say a huge role, but he plays quite a big part in episode one.
He has some interesting stuff in his desk.
Yes, he does.
Right. And, you know, I love that actor.
Yes.
He's done a few things that have been interesting. And him showing up for the MCU.
Oh, yeah.
Logical and brilliant.
And
that's cool. So he's got a couple of things going on.
I've got another name for you as well.
Okay.
This gentleman shows up as the only, basically the only technical person in the TVA. He shows up as OB, Ki Hwan Kwan. The name probably does not ring a bell, but if I said short round.
Oh, they got him. Nice. Well, he just won an Academy Award a few months ago, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
And he was in the Goonies. He was in the it was Temple of Doom, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Indiana Jones. He was in a lot of things as a child. He comes back as Obi.
Wow.
And he's brilliant. He is brilliant. And of course, you've got the returning cast of characters, Tom Hiddleston, Sophia DiMartino.
I've got some questions about Sophie.
Wonmi Mosaku. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly. Hunter B-15. She's a major part in episode one.
I didn't see her a lot. I thought we would have seen her more in the first season, so they're bringing her kind of the front a bit more.
Well, she's the one who realized that they executed the other hunter.
Perfect.
When she realized that she was a variant.
Perfect.
After her little sojourn with Sophie at the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, that was an amazing, amazing scene.
Oh, yes. But yeah, so when B-15 realized that they executed her for nothing more than realizing the truth.
Yeah, because she was there in a way.
Yeah.
And she was just there, had to execute her.
Yeah, she realized the truth. She understood that she was a variant. And it also, episode one explains why these variants don't age. It explains why Mobius did not recognize Loki at the very end of episode 6, season 1. Because he hadn't met him yet. Loki got caught in a time slip, which is not supposed to be possible in the TVA, but apparently it is because Loki got caught in time slip.
Well, I have a theory about that, but all right.
But it plays a major part. And unfortunately, we have not seen the last of Renslayer. Loki discovers a recording of He Who Remains.
Yeah.
With telling Ravona Renslayer that he was glad she joined him on his quest, and you know, it was because of her that he was able to conquer the world.
Yeah.
And all of this, and I'm like, oh yeah, that bitch. So yeah, we have not seen the last of Renslayer, unfortunately.
And not to cut to the chase, because I've been excited to talk to you about this, but I loved Sylvie.
Yes.
Loki, of course, but one of the superstars of that series was Mobius.
I'm losing you. You're fading out.
I was talking about Mobius?
Yes. Yes, he was one of the superstars.
Really? Absolutely.
Season one was littered with underpronounced actors. B-15.
Amazing performances.
Yes. Casey.
Yeah, I really felt, you know, B-15's... Yeah.
Angst and, you know, her indecision and her confusion. you know, she brought that to life, and she allowed you into her mind to see where she was coming from, and that was incredible.
Yeah, loved it, loved it.
So Mobius.
So Mobius is back in season two.
Yes.
Was he prominent in the first episode? And what did you think of the performance by Owen Wilson?
Okay. The actor himself did not have as much screen time as I would assume that he would have.
Okay.
However, however, he is very prominent in the episode, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's not on screen all the time.
Gotcha.
But that is that's all Loki is trying to do is find Mobius. Find Mobius of this time, who knows him, who knows what's going on.
Interesting.
So, and Owen Wilson is brilliant. The man is absolutely brilliant. There is no other way to put it.
I would like to put him in the underrated actors that you talked about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I loved him in everything from Night at the Museum to this. He's played...
Zoolander.
Oh, yes. He has played all different kinds of roles, and he always... turns out 110%. And he was absolutely brilliant in this, because if you remember at the end of season one, Loki finally gets it. He understands why they're pruning the timeline. He gets why these timelines and these variants have to be destroyed. He understands it. And, of course, Sophie does not, because she should have been pruned. They've been chasing her since she was 9.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she doesn't understand, and she doesn't care about what happens to anybody else at this point. She wants to destroy the person who said she needed to be destroyed. And she does. So, Loki's big thing is find Mobius and convince Mobius and the rest of the TVA that the pruning has got to continue. He is unsuccessful.
I see.
Yes. The TVA, however, is split down the middle, which is something apparently has never happened before. Half of the TVA wants to continue the pruning, and, you know, this changes nothing. The fact that the timekeepers are mechanical and not real matters not. What matters is that we keep the timeline going, blah, 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 sacred timeline, da, da, da.
Yeah.
The other half of the TVA is like, wait, so this changes everything. We're destroying lives. We're killing people on a mass scale never known to humans. What in God's name are we doing? So you've got these two factions that have decided they're going to do things their own way. So now you've got a split in the middle of the TVA. Which, And B-15 is, of course, the head of the... we're going to have to stop pruning. And Loki is just trying to get everybody... believe it or not, Loki is being the peacemaker. He's trying to get everybody together. Hey, we need to come together and talk about this. You know, it's just... It's not a comfortable position for him.
Yeah.
And it shows.
Yeah. You know, that being said, whether you think he's an anti-hero and is doing good, it would suit Loki for everything to be in his proper place and make peace.
Right, and that's not Loki. That's not what Loki is about. You know, making peace, making everybody get along, making everybody see the same way. No, Loki is chaos. Loki is chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
So try, you know, he's in extremely unfamiliar territory, and he's feeling his way the best way he knows how. And it's just, it's so seamless from season one to season two. It's amazing. Season one was incredible. Season two is shaping up to be just as spectacular.
Outstanding.
So what was your favorite episode on for season one?
It would either be one, like where he gets humbled and taken in. I just thought that whole sequence, it took an hour to explain how Loki has essentially become a prisoner, and they did it. You needed that.
Right.
And they pulled it off. You're like, yep, you're fucked, dude.
Yeah, essentially, know? Yes.
And we got to meet Mobius, and we got to, you know, the time agency. We ended up getting the background on that, and they did it fantastically without overdoing it. We got everything that we needed to know in season one, and I really respect that. That was a great episode. And then five, when the shit was hitting the fan.
Oh, yes.
You know, that was a pulse-pounding episode. The entire episode, you know, I was painting the room when I was watching it.
Oh, yeah. Because you don't know if, I mean, you know that he's got to survive. But you don't know how it's going to happen.
No, you don't. This planet is destined for destruction. The sky was literally coming down. You know, he and Sylvie still had, like, time to have some fantastic lines. That was another thing I liked about it. There were some great lines. And
yes.
Them being on the boat and him singing the song.
Yep. That was actually episode four.
Was it four?
Yep.
Yeah, that was, okay, pardon me. It's four. The ship was here.
But yeah, okay, I have to say my all-time favorite episode for season one would have to be... Oh, I'm torn between five and six. I love the inclusion of the other Lokis.
Yeah.
You know, that just... And the fact that the older Loki, he's wearing the original Marvel Loki costume.
I thought that was the Jack Kirby costume.
Yes, I thought that was absolutely brilliant.
Yes. And it explains how those different things happened in the comics.
Right. Because, you know, they were different Lokis. You know, and the child Loki, you know, what'd you do to get here? I killed Thor. No.
Well, there's a thing going on online where they're talking about the MCU has made the idea of the multiverse a mainstream idea, and they presented it in a way to where mainstream people are like, okay, gotcha.
Right.
These are rules of a multiverse.
Hey, now that you brought up the multiverse, I have a question for you. And I'm hoping season two will eventually explain it. Okay. In other, because all of the Marvel movies kind of work together, right?
Sure.
Okay. Multiverse of Madness shows how there are multiple timelines.
Yes.
For one person.
Right.
Okay. Now, the TVA has been pruning multiple timelines so that there's only one.
Okay, yes.
So I'm hoping they will explain how both of those statements can be true.
The theorem is there's actually two, maybe three main timelines that they've established. You know, quote unquote, our timeline, And then a couple of other timelines, because if the timelines start getting into World War III scenarios, it's just like go unchecked and there's a nuke, it's going to kind of have like a domino effect.
Right.
And so they pruned it back to like some two or three timelines.
Okay. Multiverse of Madness, though, you see, oh God, at least 8, maybe 10?
Well, the agency can't find by any means all of them. I mean, they're basically just trying to maintain a garden, but there's always weeds, there's
okay.
always growth that will, you know, pop up while you're over here, you know.
That makes sense. That actually yeah. makes sense. Okay. That, I'm sorry, but that makes me sit a little bit easier.
yeah, and you know, hey, let's face it, these people are busy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a single person's decision will create a new timeline.
Right.
You know, and almost like the Santa Claus thing.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. But the thing about it is, you know, they claim, the TVA claims to guard the one true timeline.
Yes.
But,
and so there may well be a main alpha timeline.
But who's the one who chooses which of those timelines is the right one? The TVA.
Yeah.
So, right. essentially, they're choosing the timeline they like the best.
Well, the theory is they pick the timeline that is the most likely, and if there's something that happens, like a nuclear bomb destroys the Earth.
Right, they
like,
cut that.
You know, that was meant to happen in this timeline, but we have to go with the one where the Earth is the most stable.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's season 2 is shaping up to be amazing.
I love how deep this series has been, and it has helped to, I really think that it's going to help flesh out a ton of the future Marvel movies.
I am,
You know, Marvel Comics and all these storylines, you know, yeah, Tony Stark dies. Well, guess what? There is a new issue of Iron Man by Marvel Comics that hit the newsstands 2 weeks ago. It's Tony Stark.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Tony Stark.
Awesome.
They're consistently following the MCU stuff, but that's the way comic books are, you know, and
right.
especially Marvel. That's one thing that I always preferred DC over Marvel. DC tended to kill their people, and then they would remain dead.
They would stay dead.
Marvel, look, Tony Stark, maybe it's going to be Robert Downey Jr., maybe it's going to be a clone, I don't know, but you have not seen the last of Tony Stark, ladies and gentlemen.
However, I do think we have seen the last of Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark.
Probably.
He's made several comments as to how essentially the character has played out for him.
Yeah.
And he needs to move on.
Well,
so,
babe, let's also not ignore the several hundreds of millions of dollars he's made up. He's probably made somewhere around $500 million. And you know what? I'd be like, I don't even want to act anymore. I just want to, you know, on my island. I'm going to do like Johnny. I'm going to buy an island. You know, he does not have to be Tony Stark anymore.
Oh, no. But, you know, at the same time, he does not have to be. He didn't have to be after the first movie.
Yeah, for sure.
But he enjoyed it. And
yes.
when it got to be where it was more work than it was play, then it was time to move on. And I get that. That is the one big boon that you have when you're an actor. Is,
you know, I dare say if it weren't for him, we would not have the MCU. Robert Downey Jr.
I would agree. Yeah, between him, Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston, and Samuel L. Jackson. If it were not for those central characters.
Yep.
Yeah, we would not have the MCU that we know, love, and respect.
We did
today.
Have Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury in Iron Man, right? We did.
Yes.
He was in the incorrect. Yeah, yeah. It had him and Sam Jackson and Hemsworth. Yes, because once Hemsworth was cast, it was over.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So, you know. Yeah. You know. So he's put in his time. You know, I think that Sam Jackson doing Secret Invasions. I don't know what they paid him. It was probably a lot, but that was very nice of him to do that because he doesn't need to continue doing this.
Well, and like I said, once again, if you are an actor, a well-known actor, you can pick and choose. You can take the roles that you want to take. You can take the roles that you go, hey, that looks like fun, and do them. You don't have to be concerned with being a working actor. Oh, I'm going to take everything that comes my way because I got to pay my bills. You know, you can pick and choose and you can take those roles that are fun, that you decide you want to do.
Sam Jackson, for the past 5 years, it seems like he's done Nick Fury and he's done the Capital One commercials, which that's probably like $250,000 for
every time they air.
And that's kind of the difference in a way with the people that are in Hiddleston's orbit and the people that are in Depp's orbit.
Yep.
They'll do the endorsements. The MCU people, they do the endorsements and they do the big money grabs. I mean, and thank you, you know, Robert Downey Jr. You know, I'm sure they paid a shitload for you to be in the second Avengers movie, and thank God you were there.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But, you know, Depp, you know, with the exception of, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, maybe he is one of these people, but the other people that he works with, you know, his periphery actors.
Right.
They don't really seem to be into cash grab movies.
Well, they are the working actors. They are the ones who will grab the part because it's offered, because they have bills to pay.
All these actors that do the Jim Jarmusch movies, they technically don't get paid for those.
What?
Yeah, I mean, they'll do like a ridiculous sum. Adam Driver ended up doing that zombie movie with Bill Murray a few years ago and Tilda Swinton. Yeah, something about the dead walk. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
It was like, I have no idea, but I'm about to find out. Hold on. Keep talking. I'm looking.
But, you know, those people basically love Jim Jarmusch, and it was like $250.
Oh, Lord. You
know, like for the entire thing.
Good gracious.
You're not getting that out of like Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, no.
You know, Robert Downey Jr., probably not. And if they want to take vanity projects, you know, independent movies, I haven't seen them do that a lot. You know, Hemsworth ended up doing those Extraction movies for Netflix. You know, he got paid a truckload of money.
The Dead Don't Die.
There it is. The Dead Don't Die.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's a Jim Jarmusch, and if you do a Jarmusch movie, like Johnny is like, I just like working with Jim. It's cool, you know, because Johnny's already got a bucket of money.
Oh my God, how come I've never heard of this movie?
Oh, it's brilliant.
Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Chloe Sevigny. I can't pronounce her last name.
Sevigny. Oh,
thank you.
Awesome.
Steve Buscemi, Tilda Swinton, Tom Waits, Danny Glover, Caleb Landry Jones, Rosie Perez, Iggy Pop, Carol Kane, hang on, Austin, hang on.
Three names, right? Austin Taylor Green or something.
Give me just a second. My Kindle decided to, I don't care. All of a sudden it popped up, Wikipedia is not for sale. I'm like, I don't care. Come on. All right. Austin Butler and Selena Gomez.
Yeah, Selena Gomez was one of the tourists.
How did I not... How have I not seen this?
And it's from beginning to end, it's crazy. Tilda Swinton is that if we were playing GURPS, the dead don't die, your regular character's like 100 points. Tilda Swinton's character is like 300 points. She's almost debilitated by being such a weirdo. She can't necessarily even function. Anyway, you know, these are people that are attached to Johnny, and they're doing a movie like this. You've never heard of it?
Right.
It is a weirdo zombie movie.
However, Tilda Swinton is also attached to Tom Hiddleston.
You know what? Yeah. Is she attached to him more than the Marvel stuff? Only Lovers Left Alive.
The Marvel stuff. I think that's it.
She's actually his indie cred to me. She really is. When you're inviting Tilda Swinton, you're getting all kinds of actress.
You tell Tom Hiddleston, we already got Tilda Swinton, and he goes, sold?
Yep.
Because that's pretty much what it was with Only Lovers Left Alive. You're going to play a vampire. Your lover is Tilda Swinton. Okay, I'm in.
And vampires, I'm in.
Vampires, Tilda Swinton, and who was the director?
Jim Jarmusch. Jim Jarmusch, I'm in.
Yep, I'm in.
Definitely in. All right, so listen, to kind of wrap it up.
Yeah.
We're on episode one. How many episodes are we slated for season two? Do you know?
Six.
Is it six?
Six.
So we have 5 episodes to go, and you sound pretty enthusiastic by what you've seen so far. And you know it's going to, you know it's going to be good. It's the same people.
Like I said, as long as they square Multiverse of Madness with the TVA timeline, I'll be good to go.
They probably will. They've got this locked down tight.
Oh yeah, they already know where they're going with it. We just don't know.
Exactly. That being said, with 5 episodes to go, if you could pick 2 picks, unrealistic and realistic,
okay,
guest stars and guest characters to show up, who would you pick?
Okay. All right. Unrealistic.
What would you like to see?
Absolutely. Does it have to be connected with the MCU?
It has to be connected somehow through the MCU. But I'm intrigued on that one. Well, save that. Put a pin in it. Let's save it for last.
All right. Okay. So, realistically, I would love to see the return of his mother. I would love to see them bring her or one of her variants into Loki season 2.
Hella? Amazingly by Renee Russo.
Yes. Mm. Not Hella. I'm sorry. Not Hella. Frigga.
Yeah,
I would love to see them bring Frigga in.
Why do you think it's unrealistic?
No. This one's the realistic one.
Okay, yeah. Because I totally can. And I would freak out.
I would love to see that. Even if it's just a Things I Didn't Get to Say to You episode. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to see that.
I love where you're going.
But yeah, that would be, and it would be so touching and heartrending, especially if Loki could introduce her to Sophia. Or to Sophie.
Mm.
You know, that, because her whole life she's worried that he would never find someone that would interest him enough for him to fall in love with them. Of course, he fell in love with himself. But, that aside.
And hey, it would be good for Sophie, too, I think.
I think so, too.
To belong to something bigger.
But, yeah, I would love to see that. That would be the episode if they were to bring Frigga in as a guest star.
Nice.
Now, unrealistically, this is the one you said put a pin in it. We'll get back to that. Okay. All right. This goes outside the MCU. And, of course, y'all all know what I'm going to say. Come on.
Is it Jack Sparrow?
Jack Sparrow. Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow. As, say, when he was attacked by the Kraken, one of his variants escaped. That variant ends up in the TVA.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Very unrealistic, and it probably will never happen, but that would be awesome.
You know, unlikely, but not impossible.
Oh, but extremely unlikely. Oh, please. If Johnny Depp was going to show up in Loki, the world would know about it by now.
Maybe not this Loki.
Well, yeah, okay.
War, baby, you know.
All right. Yeah, I'm thrilled there's a season two. I'm hoping there'll be a season three. I'm afraid they've kind of shot their wad on this one. Bringing in, you know, the man at the end of time, the destroyer, wow. Bringing Kang in this early. Yeah, there probably will not be a season three.
Well, the actor is under fire for sexual assault allegations.
Oh, dear God. Really?
Yeah, I think his name is Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors, yes.
Hmm. He has been, in the past 3 months, in a legal battle.
Oh, geez.
And there's some fairly damning evidence.
Oh, man. Now, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that about any big-name actor. But the Marvel Universe especially, just because it holds such a special place for me.
Well, you didn't know about this, huh?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's very interesting because the court stuff is pending. I think he's going to court in November, and they've already filmed all this footage with him, and he's already been Kang.
Oh, well, they quit. I mean, they had everything filmed 2 years ago.
Yeah, right. And so they're basically doing the mad race to publish and put online Loki.
That is why they put off releasing Loki, and then all of a sudden we've got to do it now. And, you know, it went from sometime in 2024 to, nope, we're doing it October 2023. Boom, 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 boom. And that's why the mad rush. Okay.
These allegations came out months ago about him. That being said, they did not reveal anything about Loki until the last month.
Oh, God.
And then started releasing it. And, you know, and I'm not advocate. I don't know what's going on. There's not enough data.
Right.
But I would say to you and to the general listener, look up Jonathan Majors' legal problems. Actually, just look up Jonathan Majors, and it's pretty much nothing but.
Yeah.
Something going to New York District Circuit Court.
I was going to open my door for a minute, but it is raining cats and dogs. I got to be careful so I don't step in poodle.
Yeah, that being said, he's an amazing actor.
He is an amazing actor, and it bothers me to hear about any type of the sexual issues, the sexual abuse, but it bothers me even more when it comes from a well-known persona.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, dude. You can get your shit anywhere. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry.
Of his breakout, you know.
Yeah, it really kills me. You know, everybody knows who you are. You could get laid anywhere. What is wrong with you that you have to do this?
Well, you know, the Heard and Depp court case taught me, and her you know, Heard releasing the interview to, what was it, Cosmo, or... But, you know, I ended up learning that you've really, before you form an opinion, you've got to let it go to court.
Well, not necessarily go to court, but you've got to have all of the information.
Yeah, and we don't have it on Jonathan Majors.
No, we don't. And I hope that they find that what was said is not necessarily what happened. You know, I really do hope that, but it's prevalent these days, and it's sad that it is so prevalent.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Yeah. So, Jonathan, best of luck. You know, hopefully truth will out.
Yeah, and that being said, I think he was cast fantastically as Kang. I always liked Kang. He feels like Kang to me. If he ends up being a horrible bastard.
He's still a damn good actor.
I'd say that he made a great Kang.
Yeah, he's still a damn good actor.
Yeah, you know what? House of Cards, Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
No one else could have played that role.
Exactly.
And it turns out that he was a rapist, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That being said.
You have to separate, I think.
And Charlie Sheen, who is also an amazing actor.
Yes.
Sentenced how many women to death? Because he didn't tell them he was HIV positive. So he's a murderer.
He is. He's an awful person. Do we separate his character from the actor? Yes. Do we hate the actor? Yes.
Oh, absolutely. But the character will always be loved.
Yeah, it's the character.
Yeah. But yeah, it very much annoyed, aggravated, and upset me that Charlie Sheen was not put on trial for murder or attempted murder. And he admitted on live TV that he did this months after it came down that if you knowingly had unprotected sex and knew you were HIV positive, and you did not tell your partner, you could be brought up on attempted murder charges. This was months before he made his declaration on national TV. And they still didn't take him to court for it, did not hold him accountable, and allowed him to walk away with it. And I'm sorry, that makes me sick.
Yeah. You know, that being said, I can't really think of a Charlie Sheen character that I totally love.
Oh, come on. 2 and a Half Men. He made the show. Him and the kid.
I was never a big 2 and a Half Men fan. Actually, I love the girls on 2 and a Half Men. I was a fan of the girls.
Well, the only reason the girls were there was because of Charlie.
Yeah, but they had some great actresses.
They really
Carrie
did.
Carrie Thatcher, she looked amazing on 2 and a Half Men.
Yep. They really did have some good actresses.
Yeah, but that being said, I always thought it was kind of a scuzz.
Well, he was supposed to be. He was playing a scuzz. Well, he was playing himself, but...
I would watch 2 and a Half Men because the housekeeper.
I loved Bertha.
Bertha was the star of the show for me. And actually their mom.
Oh, yeah. She was awesome, too.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And we are running out of time, my dear. All right, you give your information, and then I will give the Dep Heads information.
All right, gentle listener, it's Traveler 2300, no spaces, 1L and Traveler on PlayStation Network. And you can also reach me at mako3303@hotmail.com. No spaces, Mako like the shark.
All righty then. Now we have our Depheads and Hiddlestoners. We have our email, which is depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. We also have the blog, which is depheadshiddlestoners.com, no spaces. Or you can go to barryreese.net and click on the link. Speaking of, we want to promote Barry's newest book, Straw Man Series, book one.
Yeah.
So you guys, catch that one and keep catching them, because yours truly is going to be in the next one. He hasn't decided whether he's going to kill me off or not. So can't wait to see what happens with that. We also have our dedicated phone line. That number is 949-373-5476. And that is the Depth Heads and Hiddlestoners dedicated line. Call that line, leave a message, let us know who you want to talk to and when a good time is to call you back, and we will do so. So I believe that has covered all the bases. Next week, we will be up to episode 94. The week after that will be our 2-year anniversary. So keep in touch. We'll be here, so you guys keep listening.
Love and peace.
Peace and love, guys. I'm Jen.
I'm Jerry.
Peace out.
Bye-bye.